Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So we spent a little time yesterday trying to figure out how the Astros would approach their game yesterday with the opener, with that being announced, and we speculated on who it would be. It turned out it was O'Kurt, and he did his job, gave up a run, but thanks to Jose Altuve's two-run homer in the top of the first off a cutter, it was a good start for the Astros, but the star of the day was Blue Ball, a name we did not bring up yesterday. A.J. Blue Ball goes 5, gives up a couple home runs, but he did his job, and the Astros get another win. So they win the series against the Marlins. They go for the sweep today. And the important part of today's game is Arrigetti's back. You get your third starter back, the guy who, to start the year because of the injuries to Javier and Garcia McCullers, he was slated to be your third starter, and he was hurt, freak accident, broke his thumb, but now he's back. So we'll see what Arrigetti has. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. If he goes 4 solid innings, I think that's a good start in his return. We'll see if we'll see. It's likely going to be a pitch count more than how many innings he goes, but if they get 80 pitches out of Arrigetti, and he does it economically, cool. We'll see. I mentioned it yesterday. The surety of him just coming back and being good, at least some people are pointing to Arrigetti as maybe the finishing piece to the starting rotation. I'm unsure about that. I'd love to see him get more starts because Javier is right on his heels, it looks like. And if I was talking about confidence in a returning pitcher, I'd have more of it in Javier than I would in Arrigetti. But it's nice to see those guys getting their rehab starts in with the Space Cowboys and getting through those with no complications. So we are edging ever closer to getting a full rotation back of guys who we know can be major league pitchers. And maybe Luis Garcia is further back than those two, but he should be back before the end of the year. So you're getting health from your starters. You got a nice outing from your bullpen, and your bats seemingly have woken up. Maybe the good weather or the hot weather in Miami has done those bats good, because they looked pretty meek in Boston. That may just be due, and probably far likely more to do with the fact that the Red Sox are a pretty good baseball team. The Marlins were hot, but they weren't really considered a good baseball team. They had a remarkable run. And the Red Sox are a more talented team. Unfortunately, the Astros' bats weren't alive in Boston, and it led to the sweep. You play a team who is not as talented, and you're taking advantage. But Blue Ball's the guy I want to applaud. I'm not going to actually do it because I'm not going to clap into a microphone, but he's the one that should get a lot of the credit. He gets his first win, so credit to A.J. Blue Ball for that. And he just goes on a list of guys who had pretty unremarkable careers up until this season who have done their part for this Astros team. Keith, I see you got an NBA question. Let's hear from AJ Blueball. I believe it's saved over there on our Vox Pro computer. That is really just radio terminology meant for Sean and not for you guys. But it is a way we play sound. This is AJ Blueball on getting that first one. I believe Julia Morales is asking him questions.
Feels pretty good. Get that first one out of the way, and Yanni had my back the whole game. It was really fulfilling, you know. And I could feel God's presence behind me, and all glory goes to him.
You said after the game in April that you felt you could pitch in the big leagues. You've had to wait a few months for that to happen. What was sort of the thought process during those months about, you know, when you're going to get that other chance?
I mean, I was just excited for the opportunity to compete again. I mean, every time I get the ball, it doesn't matter where it is. I feel where I belong on the mound, and felt really good tonight.
That was Brian McTaggart, not Julian Morales. And you also, if you're one of the real ones, noticed that was Can't Tell Me Nothing from Kanye in the background. Back when Kanye was, Kanye's putting out music. That's great. I want to listen to it. Now when Kanye's involved in anything, like, Kanye's putting out music. Oh. You have to start questioning the morality if you want to actually listen to it.
Honestly, the music, I'd rather just put out music.
Yeah.
The other stuff that's really...
Yeah, but now that he's more than just a guy who puts out music, now you start to question yourself. Am I going to separate artists from art, or am I going to allow the artist to kind of sway if I'm going to listen to the music? And the other thing is...
They should have asked Adrian Blueball about that.
The art hasn't been that great recently.
Yeah,
as well.
But I can live with bad art.
Yeah. You're an artist. You're not good.
Yeah, I can live with
there is a shelf slippage. Life to the good art particularly from someone in music. At some point, it's going to wane.
Yeah.
Even if you're a genius, there are only so many good projects you can put out before the bad starts to come, or at least the mediocre starts to come. And he had a run. Undeniable. Now I wish we were just dealing with, we give him grace because of all the music he gave us before.
I was going to say, we talk about in sports, aging gracefully.
Yeah. He is not doing
that. Didn't age gracefully.
He is not doing that.
He retired like Antonio Brown.
No, because Antonio Brown just went away and then came back with his CTESPN, whatever he calls it. CTESPN. That is somewhat humorous, even if it is abrasive sometimes. I don't find what Kanye's doing non-musically humorous at all. And that makes me think of Raheel, who probably won't join us tomorrow. Did I ask him that question about is he on the wrong side of history when he sided with Kanye over Taylor Swift?
Yes, and I think he immediately hung up or just said, that's all the time we have.
Yeah, I think we're at the end of the interview.
Yeah.
Oh, so he gracefully, as we were talking about grace, ducked out of that and decided, sorry, got to go. I got another job I don't want to ruin. Bye. So we'll see if Raheel, the host of CityCast, can join us tomorrow. But yeah, that was AJ Blueball, got his first win. Congratulations to him. And good on him. He went the five innings and did enough to get to Abreu and Hader. You used both of those guys yesterday. So we'll see in another game where you're likely going to have to depend on your bullpen if they can give you a little bit more today to potentially sweep the Marlins and get yourselves back on track. Right now, with the Mariners and Rangers continuing to win games, they both won yesterday. They're up 3 games on the Mariners, 4.5 up on the Rangers. So maybe FanCast was right. We talked about it very early in this season, how the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners were scheduled, at least according to that publication, I believe it was FanCast, to have the tightest race ever since they started predicting races. The Astros are certainly above the projection of like 86 wins or so, but 3 teams within 4.5 games. It's a race that I expect the Astros to win. They have certainly added reinforcements. The Mariners have done that as well, but I'd like them to stop winning. It'd be nice if you cut it out, stop winning. I don't want the stress of an actual pennant race, but we may have one of those as we get
through the month of August and into September.
Yeah.
All right, Rangers, come on.
Yeah, what are we doing?
See how hard they're trying up there. Yeah. The Yankees have one.
Yeah, not a lot of teams have let the Yankees have one recently. The Marlins didn't give them anything. In fact, the Yankees were the one giving things away, and now the Rangers continue to ruin Yankee hopes, which is normally cool. I love a miserable Yankee fan, but not when the Rangers are happy about it. Yeah, I don't like this particular scenario. So,
and the Mariners play the White Sox.
Hey, we all get to play the White Sox at some point. Yeah, yeah. The Yankees won lost 2-0 to the Rangers yesterday, and the Sox, the other Sox, lost to Seattle 8-3. So certainly Seattle getting a soft touch and taking advantage of it. I don't remember correctly, but did the Astros win the series against the White Sox?
No.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the Mariners are doing what they're supposed to do. The Astros did not.
No.
Yeah.
Very much did not.
Yes.
But they also, like, swept the best teams in the NL.
Which so it all evens out, kind of.
It's
so
just right now.
It'd be beneficial if you had taken care of the White Sox.
I would like to have grown the lead.
Yes. Yes. You can say, hey, the Mariners would say, wait a minute, they took care of the Cubs and the Phillies and the Dodgers the way they did. Wait, we thought we had a chance to gain ground. So it all kind of evens out, but you'd wish what this giant killer team could do. You wish they could do both, and they had not done that over the course of the season. But the Marlins are kind of in the middle, and the Astros are putting it to them, and we'll see if Spencer Arrighetti can continue it and get them a sweep in Miami. Keith, I see you. You got an NBA question. We'll get to you. Anyone else want to follow Keith? The number is 713-780-3776. We'll get to some Texan stuff. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. They're currently maybe have just wrapped up practice in West Virginia. We'll play some sound from D'Amico from yesterday. He talked about Kamar Lassiter, who's having a good camp. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud because he sat down with Evan Washburn of CBS Sports. And a lot of Texan stuff to get to, some college football stuff as well. And you, till noon, Sean and I will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, we got a couple callers. If you want to join them, you're welcome. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's start with Keith. He's got a question about the NBA. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I had a question. I know it's not NBA season, but a couple days ago, the Spurs went in through a max deal, 4 years, $229 million to De'Aaron Fox. And then Kevin O'Connor had a tweet, you know, about he didn't really like the deal. And I kind of agree with him. Like, Fox, you know, as your go-to point guard, he turns 28 this year. His stats is kind of on down each of the last four seasons. Not nearly a good enough shooter for that type of money, in my opinion. You know, they got a bunch of rookie guys. They've been paying a bunch of guys. But, you know, 4 years, 229 for De'Aaron Fox, kind of a tier two point guard. His best years were obviously in Sacramento. You know, what do you think of that deal? Are the Spurs making the right move? Obviously, Chris Paul has moved on to the Clippers, and he's a veteran. And but it kind of just seems like a slight overpay. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, and I would agree. I don't like agreeing with Kevin O'Connor. Never like agreeing with Boston media. But I will do that in this case, partly because of roster construction. And when we had the discussion yesterday, the Spurs could not have predicted when they traded for De'Aaron Fox that they were going to wind up in a spot where they could take Dylan Harper, outside of the fact that they always wind up with advantageous draft status, so maybe they should have been able to know. But as Sean funnily said, they thought they're getting the number one pick, which meant Cooper Flagg. So, of course, they thought they weren't going to be in a position to take Dylan Harper. You're paying De'Aaron Fox max money. He is not a max player. It is one of those scenarios where the Spurs weren't going to fight it. They made the trade. He wanted to be there. We're just going to give him all of it. All the money that he could possibly earn, we're going to give it to him, when maybe a negotiation should have been had. But when you're the Spurs, what do? Do you trade for De'Aaron Fox, let him play out his contract and see how it goes with Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle, and then make a determination, and then you possibly have a disgruntled De'Aaron Fox when you're on a countdown now because you're not sure about giving him the money that you have to trade him before he isn't a free agent? Because even as little as the Spurs gave up to get him – You don't want that asset to come off your books without getting anything back for it if they weren't comfortable giving him the deal. I don't like the deal. I don't think his impact warrants the deal. The Spurs kind of operated the way the previous collective bargaining agreement allowed you to operate. Yeah, just give him the money. Like the Magic have done that. They just gave Paolo the money, which you understand. Franz, you may question. They gave him a max deal. And I bring those guys up because they're in draft classes that kind of mirror with the Rockets draft classes. And the Rockets have certainly decided we're actually going to have a bit of a conversation about how much you're worth as opposed to just giving you all the money we can give you. That's why if you're at Houston, look at your organization and applaud them for how they deal with these things where you can't guarantee that the guy you're about to pay is a max level player. So we're not going to pay him like one.
Yeah.
And they have enough of a relationship with the agent and the player to work it out because Jabari Smith got a deal that good for him. He's going to be set for life, but the Rockets aren't in a position where they feel like we're overpaying for a guy whose role as it stands right now is still kind of in a shoebox of we need you to play great defense, be a spacer, and if as your game develops, maybe we look like geniuses and we're paying you less than a player of your status should be getting paid. That's a great option for the Rockets as opposed to giving him what the Magic gave of Franz Wagner and going, man, is he ever going to develop into the guy who is worthy of a contract like this?
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's that right there where there's like basically no way that the Franz Wagner contract's going to be a good deal, you know, or like is going to be a underpay for Wagner. While there is, however small a chance, the chance that Jabari Smith's contract will actually be a deal for an underpay for Jabari. That's basically it. And then with De'Aaron Fox, honestly, even without the fit of the team around him with all the guards that they have, even just like, hey, do you think that De'Aaron Fox is worth $58 million a year? No, not particularly.
No, not really.
No. Like, do you think he's better than Karl Towns, who's overpaid, making about $55, $60 million? No, not really.
No.
Like, that. It is just like a situation where he's a one-time all-star, so I guess he's good enough to where it's like, yep, got to max this guy. Where it's like, actually not. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm glad. You know, I'm glad De'Aaron Fox is getting his money.
From the Spurs.
And I'm glad the Spurs are the one giving it to
Yes. him. Whether it's a deal they come to regret, that'll be determined
they
by...
They probably just trade him for a ham sandwich. That's all they do.
Not even take back any bad salary.
Yeah, yeah. The Kings are give them a first-round pick to take them back.
Yeah. The way the Kings operate.
All they do is make trades with the Kings and Bulls, which is a great strategy to win every trade.
Yeah, we talk about, at least general NBA media talks about, there are less dumb teams in the league, so it's harder to get over. Well, the Spurs maybe have cornered the market on dealing with dumb teams.
Yeah.
And they've convinced the Kings and the Bulls to deal with them.
There's still like four or five that are like you can really get one over on them.
Yeah, and some of it may have to do with how that team wants to operate. Like, you know, the Jazz will give up a player like John Collins, but that's because they don't want to pay him, and they'll take scrap from the Heat back because they're lesser deals. They're taking less money back, and they don't have to play those guys because they want to be bad. And they're not. They won't affect winning. Like Kyle Anderson and Kevin Love, even if they remained on that Jazz roster, they're not going to affect winning because the Jazz don't want to win. They probably have their eyes set on DeBanza, who was playing at BYU for a year. They think it would be wonderful to go get the guy who's playing in Provo and be your franchise corner piece, or cornerstone. So there are ways to get over on teams because of circumstance. But in general, the Kings and the Bulls act and operate dumbly, and they without a real plan. So it isn't excusable the way they do things. And the Spurs so far have taken advantage of that. Like Toronto, why are you giving Jakob Poeltl all the money you gave him? Why did you give Brandon Ingram as much money as you could give him, considering the market?
Yeah,
I know you traded for him and you couldn't lose him in free agency. But who was going to give Brandon Ingram the money you gave him? There wasn't that money available.
You could have
and it's still Brandon Ingram. No one wanted to give him that type of money.
You could have not lost him and still
You could have negotiated.
Paid him $10 million a year less?
Yes. So dumb teams still exist. Unfortunately, not as many as there were before. But but the ones who are out there, they're pretty dumb.
Yeah. They've got those two Pelicans, Suns. Like, there's...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if the Suns have learned their lesson. But with Matt Ishbia still being there, I won't bank on it. They did just give Devin Booker all that money. So
yeah, exactly.
Who knows? All right, we'll go to break. Eric, hold on. I know you got a question. We'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow up, Eric, 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here, and then we'll get into CJ in a sit-down with CBS Sports and Evan Washburn. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah. On some of these... the Texas Longhorns record, what they're going to do. They have them going 11-1, and some of them have them losing to the Gators. I don't see that happening. I mean, I know they're ranked number 17. But I do see a Texas Longhorns Miami Hurricanes national championship title game in January. Also, is there any truth that Louis Vuitton denied Jose Altuve coming into their shop? I'll hand it to listen.
I have not seen that story.
That story is false. There's actually been a story in the Houston Chronicle about how that's false.
That story is?
Yes.
Okay.
And it has like millions of views on Facebook.
why would Louis Vuitton have not allowed Jose Altuve? Because they didn't think he had the money to be in the store in this hypothetical fake story? What was the reasoning for him not being allowed?
Yeah, I guess they don't recognize him.
And thought, you're a small brown man, you can't possibly have... made enough money to come in here? Is that the setup for this fake story?
I don't
that Louis Vuitton's just racist?
I don't know if it was even that well thought out. Oh, okay. I think it was just...
Okay. There it is,
Eric. Jose Altuve denied at Louis Vuitton.
There it is, Eric.
At the Galleria, which is the sneaky part of, like, Altuve's going to the Galleria.
They were offended by the 2019 scandal? What possible reason would they have had?
And at some point, you go from, like, you know, he doesn't look like a professional athlete, so you can kind of understand how, like, they don't immediately know he's a professional athlete. He's on the other end of the spectrum, though, of, like, he has such a distinct body that if, like, anyone who kind of looks like Jose Altuve and is very short walks into your store, you should be like, that's probably Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I don't know the composition of the workers at the Louis Vuitton store in the Galleria, but if I was the manager of that place, considering it's a high-end store in the Galleria,
you should know.
I would have pictures up of the athletes who may possibly walk into the store. So to avoid a situation where my store gets pretty much canceled because we didn't do what we're supposed to do, it would be part of the training. Hey, these guys, if they walk in, or you know what, if you're not sure, come ask me.
Yeah,
somehow, but that story's not real, Eric. As far as the Longhorns and their schedule.
So we're doing another year of Eric calling in saying, I think it's Miami.
Yeah, he did that last year. Neither team held up their end of the bargain, Miami less so because of their late season collapse. And, of course, Texas got to the semifinal, but not the title game, so neither team made it. Eric, I guess you just want this for the conversation that the show would have because it wouldn't be Armageddon. Sean and I are normal enough not to allow it to be this giant thing. Miami versus, you know what we wouldn't do? That other shows would start putting bets
show
on
bet.
The game. Yeah, show bets. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying, hey, if my team wins, you do this. If your team wins, sorry.
Yeah. That's, no, the show bet would just be how annoying, at least I would be.
And after. We both would be pretty annoying if we're in the title game.
After
yes.
the like that's the thing.
If first of all, I had,
Joe and I didn't have a bet when it looked like it could have been
Notre Dame.
Like, we didn't even discuss it because we would just hate each other.
Yeah.
The week after the title game.
Yeah. The thing I would have to deal with would be how would my mind just figure out how to not give Mario Cristobal any credit for it. I would have to figure out a way. Nah, because considering my stance on him, if he made a title game, how would I figure out a way not to, you know, actually slide credit to the head coach who got it done? I mean, I could probably figure out a way.
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
They probably lost.
Yeah.
I would not just, in the playoff, but, you know, they probably dropped a game to Virginia Tech or something on the way over.
Yeah, I just have to call him like a Corey Heatherman merchant, who is the new DC from Minnesota. I wouldn't be able to call him a Carson Beck merchant.
Yeah, no, that's Corey Heatherman's ring, not Mario.
I would have been able to lean on Cam Ward last year. Oh, you had to get the transfer quarterback. You couldn't recruit a quarterback to do it. But this year I can't because I've already made my stance on Carson Beck pretty well known. So, Eric, in that dream scenario, this show would be annoying. You would be annoying. I don't foresee it happening. Not because Texas can't do it, because of my aforementioned disbelief in Mario Cristobal's ability. That's why I don't think it's happening. But as far as that schedule is concerned, are they going to lose the game to the Gators? The Gators, we'll find out a lot about them early. They got LSU in Miami this early in the year. Maybe Texas's one loss in the regular season is to, you know, their first opponent, Ohio State.
Yeah,
Ohio State. It could very well be that.
The Texas schedule is very funny because it's like just peaks and valleys of like you start the season at Ohio State and three games that the combined spread will probably be like 90. Yeah, like the Texas will be favored by 30 in each of them. And then bye week and to the Swamp, then Red River, and then I think it's Vandy and Kentucky, Mississippi State order.
Yes, Kentucky, Miss State, and then Vanderbilt.
Yes, all on the road. Or not all on the road. Vandy's at home.
Yes.
But the entire month of October, they don't play a home game. And then bye week, then Georgia, Arkansas, A&M.
Yeah.
At Georgia, too.
At Georgia. You get.
I would say at Georgia is more likely a loss than at Florida. No disrespect to DJ Lagway and Billy Napier.
I would agree. Georgia, no matter what their quarterback situation is to start, they probably would have figured something out by that time.
Yeah.
And that might be a hell game for both teams, honestly, because Texas is as talented as any team in the country. Then you got your rival from the Southwest Conference that no one really cares about anymore, Arkansas. They still care, but Texas people not so much. And then you got your rival that you care about, but you don't particularly respect that much in A&M. Tough close out the year.
Yeah.
Texas has a schedule certainly that has some pitfalls, but they certainly have the talent to go to win 10 games.
Yeah.
Make the playoff and then play as a if you want to call it a wild card or an at large and probably have a home game considering the new setup for the playoff, much like they did last year.
Yeah, like most SEC schedules, it's like you can tell me that they go, you know, if you really believe in them, 11-1. But, like, 10-2 is probably more likely if they're, like, a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but also they can go 8-4. Like, it's all there.
If
8-4, lower than 8-4 is a little, like, that's when you get into, like,
what the hell
actually happened. Really went wrong.
But you can find ways to get them to 8-4. Arch is not as good as he was. The young receivers don't play to the level you think they can play to.
They go to Ohio State, Florida, and Georgia.
Yeah, they could lose.
And they play Oklahoma.
Yeah, so they could. And then, of course, A&M comes to town. What's a rivalry game? Things can happen, that type of thing. So they could lose 4, but that would be the most I think they're going to drop unless an absolute disaster happens.
They go to Starkville and just, you know.
Don't lose them. Like Kevin Sumlin's, the death of Kevin Sumlin's A&M tenure because he couldn't beat the Mississippi schools. Sark, I don't think, is going to have to deal with that. He figured out a way last year.
He did figure out a way last year with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, and now that
with
quarterback
the unproven
is a starter.
Backup quarterback.
Now
that's the one thing. That's the one thing. Arch, we know he's got the low level SEC covered. We know he's got the non conference outside of Ohio State covered.
Yes, the non conference.
He proved that last year.
The non conference in state school who's there for the paycheck game. He can take care of, and then he can also take care of the dregs of the SEC. Things will be a bit different.
Yeah. We got
in his
something
first start
for you,
this
Kentucky.
Year. Don't count out Kentucky. At least Ole Miss didn't, and we saw how that played out. Well, maybe they did, and that was a problem.
Ole Miss
still laughing at Ole Miss.
Isn't really a serious.
Still laughing at Ole Miss bitching about not making the playoff when you lose Kentucky at home. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't stop Alabama. They lost by 30. I guess it was on the road. But I think if you lose by 30 to a team who can't pass for 4 months, that's pretty bad.
Understood. But it's just SEC privilege. You think, hey, yeah, the Oklahoma loss is ugly, but they are an SEC team. So, yeah, you know, for the last 6 months. So that means that it means more to lose to them.
They went 3-5 in the SEC, but we're one of the three, so they must be good.
Yeah. Hopefully, and I don't think we'll avoid it, hopefully we can avoid those ridiculous arguments this year, but college football is built on arguments, so no, unlikely.
No chance for losing, for not getting those arguments.
Yeah, we talked a lot of college football in the segment. Josh Pate, who has a new partnership with On3 and Rivals, joined John Lance for his weekly appearance. That started this week. You'll be able to hear that on the podcast for the John Lance Show. I say you will be able to hear it because I had no intern, so the podcast isn't up yet. But it will be up at about 12:15 or so once I'm done with this. You can hear Josh Pate the first time he'll join us, which will be weekly throughout the college football season. One of the best to do it.
Weigh in on TCU having a furry quarterback? Or?
John did because he thought it was real, and I had to tell him it wasn't real. Yes, that's a story. Much like the Jose Altuve being denied by Louis Vuitton, the quarterback for TCU being a furry is not true. Well, at least that story isn't true. I don't know what he does when he's not playing quarterback.
Yeah. There's no evidence.
There's no evidence that he's a furry, despite what that Instagram account put out there. So if you were worried about that, TCU fans, don't.
Okay. And Josh Pate didn't have to waste his time talking about it.
No, because John brought it up later in the show.
Yeah, okay.
Thankfully. Because let's not have...
I didn't listen to the Pate interview live, so I didn't know if he was...
Let's not have the esteemed Josh Pate have to answer the question about whether Josh Hoover is actually a furry and what that might do to TCU's chances this year. No worries. So, as we go to break, I'm looking at, I guess, the Little League World Series, the Little League Softball World Series, and I'm not bringing it up because I have any rooting interest between Indiana and Brazil, but Lamar Little League. Back in the World Series. They clinched that yesterday out of Richmond. Lamar Little League back in the Little League World Series. So now we can all pretend that we are really locked in on Little League baseball again because Lamar is back in it.
There we go.
Lamar Little League's back in it. They did that yesterday. So congratulations.
Don't let me down, kids.
Look, go out there. Try your hardest. If you lose... I don't want you to lose.
Better not lose.
I don't want you to lose, but trust me, you're not going to break my heart if you do. I hope you guys have a great time in Williamsport. Try your best, and let's leave it at that. I'm not going to analyze why you didn't go the other way in a situation. Why the coach played his son more than he should have. I don't if there's even a coach's son on the team. I don't know. I just assume.
Jeremy Brandon from tweet out, what's wrong?
What's wrong with insert Lamar Little League manager's lineup? If he really wants to lean in, that's what he should do. He should see that lineup, screenshot it on ESPN, and tweet about it.
What? Why is Braden hitting fourth?
Braden's a good call.
I don't know if they have a Braden.
I don't know, but it's a good call. We don't know. But congratulations to those kids. Keeping that strong tradition alive of that particular organization continuing to thrive and back in the Little League World Series. All right, we'll go to break with that if you want to join us. You know the number, 713-780-3776. We'll get to that Texan stuff when we come back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Today at Texas practice was a little more than a walkthrough. Guys were in just shirts or jerseys, no pads, no shells and shorts. And just doing stuff at half pace. So not a lot to talk about there. I'm sure we'll have quotes from the guys. Christian Harris and Damian Pierce continue to get acclimated. They were back yesterday, and today they did more with the team. So we'll see as they progress what they can provide. And Damian Pierce may be thrust into a spot where he can win a job. Nick Chubb wasn't at practice today. He left early. He left practice early yesterday. He wasn't there today. But this could be just, hey, Nick, chill out. There's nothing going on really anyway. But CJ was there, and he was there yesterday. We talked about the slip and slide thing. If you don't know, CJ is practicing sliding, and they have a slip and slide out there for him to figure some things out. I still think I'm going to ask Will Kunkel who set that up. I just need to know whose job is that to do that. But let's move to CJ after he's done with the slip and slide.
Dried off.
Whoever got him the towel, shout out to you. He sat down.
Again, we'll ask Will who got him.
Yeah, he didn't. There didn't seem to be any dishwash residue on his arms as he was talking and sitting down and talking with Evan Washburn of CBS Sports. But a lot of the conversation and a lot of the excitement for the Texans, other than they got that bum Bobby Slowick out of there, which is kind of the sentiment people are using to talk about what happened last year, is the fact that CJ will have more control. A couple of people in NFL media quote tweeted the audio that we're about to play and were like, yeah, give CJ more control. I don't know what they're basing that being a positive on. I'm more wait and see on how that'll go. But CJ will have more control. Here's CJ talking with CBS Sports about Nick Caley and having that type of influence on the offense.
It's been good. You know, he's somebody who is a fiery guy, you know, brings the juice every day, has a bunch of energy. So, you know, he helps us in that area a bunch and very smart, you know, knows, you know, a lot about the past of where he's been in New England and L.A. Is very knowledgeable about the game, you know, and he wants to learn about quarterback. That's one thing I liked about him is, like, he didn't come in just, like, saying, like, hey, read this way, read this that way. You know, he gave me a lot of ownership on, like, the reads and, like, how we're going to, you know, break things down. So that's been a lot of fun doing that with him. And, yeah, it's been good, though. I've been learning a lot. Watching a bunch of old Patriots stuff, so it's cool to see Brady and Edelman and Gronk, you know, kill guys every year and, you know, have their ups and downs with the offense. And they were in it for so long, so it's year one, so, you know, we're not going to be that level yet, but we're getting closer and closer every day.
You've been in football your entire
It's interesting to listen to CJ be more measured in his approach to what's going to happen than people who are talking about him. Like, the player himself knows this is a process. This will grow. It won't be this head on full go thing right away. I'm going to figure some things out. There'll be some ups and downs as I continue to gain more knowledge in this offense. And then, as he said, he mentions names, the name Brady, and that took Brady some time before he was the master that he became. So it appears CJ kind of gets it more than the people talking about it, but he will be allowed to do some things that people had hoped he would have been allowed to do earlier in his career. And that will be controlling the offense more. And we'll see how he adapts as we go along. Week one, we know they've got the Rams, and certainly Matthew Stafford, the quarterback on the other side, is someone who is the type of guy who kind of runs that offense and makes the checks and the calls. And certainly CJ wants to get to that point. We know a couple off seasons ago, he was talking about his appreciation for Stafford. Well, Stafford will do some on-field work. He's expected to do that this week. That's a concern for the Rams. And if you're one of those who isn't the type who goes, I want the other team at their best, there is some question about whether Matthew Stafford could be available for week one. But according to the people around the Rams and Sean McVay himself, that process will be a little slow, but Matthew Stafford will be on the field. We'll see how his back responds to that, because if he's not going, it'll be Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not the worst option for the Rams to have Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup. Like, it isn't like they're rolling out.
Yeah, complete no name or a rookie.
Yeah, so they
six-rounder.
They do have a guy who's been to the Super Bowl as their backup. So while the advantage would be Texans to have Matthew Stafford not be available, they do have a very capable backup in their back pocket just in case. So I get it. Not having Stafford seems like great.
I mean, it's better.
It's certainly better than
Garoppolo. Or he's better than Garoppolo.
Yeah, but it isn't like you walk in there as a clear-cut favorite just because Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback.
No, I needed a I don't know, some reclamation, like, was never good, you know, like back when Paxton Lynch was still around. Like Trey Lance.
What's a Gabbert doing?
Gabbert.
Yeah, you needed one of those types, not a guy who
it's like, oh, this guy's actually pretty solid.
In an offense somewhat similar to what he ran in San Francisco. I don't need a guy who can direct a talented team to a Super Bowl, and he's going to have a talented team.
I need Graham Mertz.
Yeah, we need can Keaton Slovis be a Ram
to flip him for a seventh?
Yeah, and have him start. Unfortunately, for Texan fans, at least there will be an experienced backup for the Rams if Stafford can't go.
Yeah, and the Rams are a team that de-emphasize the preseason and training camp stuff like so much,
yeah.
And it's worked for them. Like, they make the playoffs pretty often. They've won a Super Bowl. That they could just be slow playing this, and just they're more comfortable than other teams being like, just not have Matt Stafford do very much until the week before the season starts, and then we'll just get right into it. Like, they are that kind of team. They made waves back. I think it was like McVay's first, maybe it was his second year, where they just didn't play anybody at all in the preseason. Like, they didn't play any of their offensive or any of their star players, actually, offense or defense, in any of the preseason games. And then they came out, and guess what? They're a really good offense.
Yeah, and from yesterday's joint practice, Jimmy Garoppolo was dotting up the Cowboys' secondary because, you know, he has Puka Nacua and Davante Adams as guys to throw the football to. So they're a pretty talented unit. Less talented if Matthew Stafford isn't available.
Try that against the 2000 Ravens. I mean, the 2025 Houston Texans.
Well, we'll hear from one of the guys who may turn the Texans into one of the best defenses of the century, apparently, when we come back.
With how they're practicing, you know.
Well, what they're doing to C.J. Stroud. If we go by all the reports of pick sixes and interceptions and batted balls.
I hope they're the best, or else this offense might be a tough watch.
This is when I say everyone's so convinced that it's going to be smooth sailing for C.J. with more control. The current performance of the offense would beg to differ. But, of course, they're going against what is expected to be one of the best defenses in football. So maybe that isn't a fair, you know, evaluation process when you have all those guys. And we'll hear from one of those guys when we come back. He made the top 100 list. Will Anderson did. We'll hear him be humble. You can determine if he's being humble because he thinks he is when he talks about what he's capable of. We'll hear from him. Michelle, you want to talk Altuve? Hold on through the break. We'll get to you, Michelle, and others at 713-780-3776. First hour done. Second hour coming up. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.